Welcome back, guys. DG Aslan, Camo X, 2 minutes past 3 p.m. Beautiful day. So, Wheels, how was the nerdiest nerd weekend of all time?
Well, it was a mix, right? So, Saturday was the Nerd Fest, known as my fantasy baseball auction. We're so nerdy, we don't even draft. We have to bid on players. And that usually we had like 6 hours, maybe. I think it took us to wrap it up.
That's nothing.
Oh, guys, it used to be like before we got, you know, before the internet age, before the web, we did it all online. I mean, it would be 9-10 hours. You'd be there all day doing it.
And 30 years.
This is the 30th year, maybe 31st. I think it was the 30th year, though. I think we started in 94.
Jeez.
That was the first. So, like, and it's not all the same people, but probably.
So are you drafting junior high kids?
Pretty much. I don't want to bore people too much with the details of it, but it's a 14 team league and it's very deep rosters. So, like, if you want to get the next young players, you have to go into the guys that are like 18, 19 years old.
So, like I said, JC, someone's had him.
He's been on a team for at least a year right now.
Wow.
At least a year by
you
now.
You guys are weird.
Yeah. Like, even the nerds look at us and go,
yeah.
Nerds.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah.
So, fantasy baseball was the first fantasy sport, right?
As far as I know. Yeah. I mean, it was so kind of like late 80s, early 90s, it started to gain some popularity. It was kind of early to mid when it took off. And then fantasy football was like right on its heels. And obviously fantasy football is the big one. That's the one that everybody does. But yeah, it's about right. And
very
then basketball, hockey kind of followed right after that.
Yeah, there's no going halfway with the fantasy baseball.
Not really, no.
You can half-ass a football team because I've done it.
Yeah, because it's once a week.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. You don't, you know, like for us, you know, the challenge always is managing your, one way to limit your ridiculousness is to go with weekly lineups instead of daily. The daily ones are insane because you're making moves every day and all that. We don't do that. We do the weekly ones, so we're only half insane. But yeah, it's not easy because you got to pick up and like you're picking up players and cutting players all the time. It's ridiculous, but it's fun.
Maybe you should try to get a job in a front office.
I mean,
it sounds like pretty good experience.
Based on what I say on Twitter, I'm smart enough to.
Right?
Wait, I said that. Yeah,
these,
that's true.
These shows, when we start later, are always weird. I've always said that. They're odd. The timing's off. You don't know where to start. So I'll just start here. Andrew, your cat speaks English?
I'm pretty sure she speaks English.
So you guys what kind know of accent does she
speaks
have?
Speaks or understands?
Well, okay, so you guys, I've been talking about the mice in the heist, right?
Yeah, I don't think Kevin knows the latest.
Yeah, so there are mice in the house now. The mouse in the house, mice in the heist.
Because he caught the mouse in his car, walked it half a block, and threw it into a busy intersection.
Right, that I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Spun it by the tail, let it go.
So his friends came to avenge him by infiltrating the home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they made their way into my coal room, which is the room that holds all my coal.
Wait, you have a coal room?
I do have a coal room. And they have
is
found
there coal in your coal room?
No, not currently. There could be, but I haven't put any coal in there.
Just checking.
Just mice.
Yeah, just mice in the coal room.
More of a mouse room, really.
It sounds like a book. You should write a children's book. You know mice in the coal room.
I should call it the mouse room at this point.
Or get some coal.
But they found an ingress into the coal room. And
you love that word.
Yeah, I do love the
you
word
really
ingress.
Do. You really lean into it.
It's my word of the day.
You're the
calendar.
Only person I know who says ingress and egress.
Because I don't have a better way. It's like they're doing a heist. It's like they're breaking into my home.
Mouse hole?
Yeah. Well,
don't say that.
They've gone through the mouse hole. We are through the mouse hole, people. So I get home last night, and she takes a long. Normally, she's right at the door, ready to greet, you know,
Megan.
Mommy and Daddy when they walk through. What?
Nothing. Oh. We're talking about the cat. Jesus.
Megan's like, Daddy's home.
Megan is sitting on the floor, leaning against the door, meowing. And so I walk in.
My mom listens to this.
And so
she likes that kind of stuff, so go ahead.
And so she takes a long time to show up, and I'm like, all right, I know where she was. She was in the downstairs hunting mice. Basement, I guess I could have called it.
Coal room.
And she's down in the coal room hunting mice. So I say, like I did last time this happened, I said, all right, show me the mice, Gigi. And she, like, trotted off, like, for me to follow her. And I did, and she took me to the coal room. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay, wow, I can't, she understood that somehow. So last night I tried it again. I was like, all right, take me to the mice. And she walks me.
Yeah, she's calling.
She walks me down the stairs back into the coal room, and I'm like, okay, again, this seems strange. So I was like, show me where they are. Show me a mouse, Gigi. And she kind of looks a little put upon, like, all right. And she jumps up onto the coal ledge of the coal. Like, there's a ledge surrounding the room, right? Like a concrete ledge, because it was the room for holding all
just,
the coal.
Guys, just think back onto the coal rooms that you've been inside.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
They always
yeah.
have
I don't yeah, actually have thing. A better way to describe the coal room. It's a big, like, concrete, small.
I think we're picturing it pretty well.
Yeah. Okay.
we're all waiting for her to speak English.
Yeah. Right.
So she jumps up on the ledge, and she goes over to, like, the insulation kind of in the rafters of the basement. And she reaches up, and she whacks something, and then she sticks her head in and pulls out a mouse and, like, whips it onto the ground and then jumps down. And she looks at me like, there you go. Got one. And then the mouse started to move, and she, like, whacked it again in the head, which, like,
she's having a good time.
She's having a blast.
Awesome.
So are you going, now that you know where their lair is, are you going in?
I got to figure something out. I don't know. I can't really
find. Are
you
that guy?
I can't find any cat safe trap. What do you mean?
That you can go in and handle a mouse infestation?
I'm the kind of guy that will try. I don't know if I'll.
Are you going to run screaming successful. Through the streets and drop them in an intersection?
I'm going to use a torch and end up burning my whole house down.
It appears the fire started in the coal room.
You've come a long way from the humane peanut butter bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now they're in my house. And my cat's killing them anyway, so
one way or the other.
It's out of the bag, so to speak, both the mice and the cat. And my wife keeps saying really cryptic stuff, because she works with animals a lot. She's a vet. She's been...
Like, I'm so sick of you.
She's saying cryptic
Why
things
did I do
like,
this?
"We did this is because of you that this is
I
happening.
I could have been somebody.
This is your fault. You keep dragging me down. I've never been
Show
happy.
Show me the mice, Andrew. Show me where the mice are, Andrew.
I've been seeing other people. she keeps saying really cryptic stuff like...
Gigi is a new daddy.
She keeps saying really cryptic stuff like, "Well, now she's developed a taste for warm blood." And I'm like, don't say things like that.
That's
what does
awesome.
That mean? And she's like, "I guess we'll have to wait and
You're
see.
You're living in a strange
on.
Home.
I'm living in a weird... I'm having a weird couple of weeks,
You
gang.
Are.
And my cat seems to understand perfectly when I say...
You know what would help? A haircut.
A haircut would definitely help. I know
really,
what you're...
You need to...
I know what you're getting at here.
He's got one strand. It's like alfalfaing right now.
I know
one.
I'm alfalfaing, Rachel. I got one string that's going straight up. I got another one here that's going straight down.
We should
down.
Get Amy's fiance to cut it for you.
Yeah.
Mason Jar and his daughter cut Amy's hair in two different times with two different implements.
Nice.
With like crap.
I think one was like a scythe.
Yeah.
Good.
They're reaping her hair.
Yeah. It's a low-grade horror movie.
They're reaping the hair.
They're building an Amy doll.
Oh, my God.
And that's the one that's going to get married. Okay, good start.
Yeah.
Easier than I thought it was.
But the cat still hadn't spoken English.
I should have, I'm sorry, Kevin, Mr. Semantic. I should have been a little more clear. I think she understands English.
Yeah.
I think I've been speaking to her in English, and she seems to have.
You
want to
know what my notation means?
I'm dying to know.
So Andrew was spying, because he's a spy, and he was looking at my notebook, and it says chip equals chip. I had a friend over the weekend tell me that all chips are equal. And it doesn't matter whether it's Lay's or Ruffles or Pringles or Fritos or Cheetos.
No.
That they're all exactly the same and we're all just rubes for spending more money.
No, this is like when people say that all Skittles taste the same.
They do
it's
not.
Just, they, it's just they have a yeah, different smell or whatever.
Simply not true.
It's not true. The chips are not the same. No, they're not all equal. Pringles suck. They're terrible.
Hey,
Ruffles easy. Are
good. Was your friend trying to say that the store brand is just as good as the name
sort
brand?
Of, yeah, sort of.
But what I don't get is that, like, a wavy Lay and a Frito could possibly be considered the same thing.
No, I think it was more the quality of the brands.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they understood that Cheetos taste different than Doritos. It was just like,
okay,
why you waste your money on a Dorito? Why are you going name brand?
Hard disagree.
Yeah, I got to agree with the disagree.
Man, chips are expensive nowadays, though.
Mm-hmm.
They're like $7 a bag. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that the truth? Gigi's listening like meow.
Yeah. Gigi's at home with a dead mouse like, I know that's right.
Oh, now, remember last week when intermittent fasting was the best thing you could do for your body?
Yep.
Live to be 120 right years old.
Yep.
You better eat something because it gives you a 91% chance of a heart attack or a stroke.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Well, that stinks. She's been
fasting.
Yeah,
and on the
front
page of Drudge today, it was, hey, stop fasting.
I didn't know that part, but I was
91% elevated chance of heart attack.
Yeah, I feel like justified in protesting the fasting.
See, that's another thing.
I'm safe.
There really,
yeah, me too.
We talk about this a lot, but there really was a sweet spot of human life, and it had to do with ignorance. Because you don't want to be so ignorant that you can't build fire or know what a wheel is. But maybe if you don't know what triglycerides are, you live a happier life.
Mm.
Like, I'm pretty sure my grandma and grandpa never thought about, they just, like, they made a pie. They made it out of lard. Even the fruit was lard. And they ate it, and then they worked in the fields and died at 40, you know, so.
Well, there also just seemed to be a tendency back then to have one piece of the lard pie and then stop. But for whatever reason, our society is like, we got a jumbo lard for you. Buy one, get one free.
A lard pie would last the neighborhood like 4 days. We're like, make two. I'm hungry.
Pull it out during the winter. 322 DGS, weird little show here. Can I talk about some weird little science?
Yeah.
So we all know that the standard model now is the Big Bang happened about 13.4 billion years ago, and infinite tininess expanded infinitely fast, and it just keeps getting faster and faster and all this stuff. And there's something called dark matter and dark energy, but we can't find it because it doesn't interact with anything. You can't see, you can't feel, it's just out there. A really, really smart physicist has done a paper now where he is saying that's because it doesn't exist. It never existed. And by the way, fellas, the universe is twice the age you think it is. And the reason you're seeing these red shifts as things are expanding is because that's what it looks like as the universe dissipates and dies. And so, like, we're going to be fine. We're going to make it through. But, you know, like, the whole concept of it and dark matter and dark energy, and it's the biggest question in physics. And this guy's admitting, like, I'm going against the grain and people are really going to hate me. But he's a real guy with real credentials. Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be, like, Newtonian if someone in our day and age was able to say, like, yeah, you're only off by 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, on that scale, it's just, it's impossible to really know that, as far as we know now, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's still like math on a chalkboard.
Right.
Right. Then the other thing, we've all heard of the Higgs boson,
yep,
the God particle. And I finally kind of understand what it is, and it's fascinating. So there's this guy named Higgs, still alive, I believe, who suggested the Higgs field. And he said what it is that light, photons, will become matter. And everyone's like, okay, Higgs, go have another, you know, it's like, whatever. And that's what this is. The Higgs field, it's sort of like a ping pong ball hitting a sandbox. It slows it down. And the Higgs field, when a photon hits it, it slows it down enough that it becomes matter. And that's why we have something instead of nothing. And when they slam these things into each other in the Large Hadron Collider, which, by the way, is how the devil's going to get here. it created the Higgs field, and we could see it and go, yep, that's a real thing. Now, if that's not some witchcraft.
I don't get how people's brains work like that.
Me either.
I mean, I don't think it's meant that all of us are supposed to be that
no
way. You know?
No.
But
I'm sitting here listening to Dave recap it, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. You know, it's because it's funny that you're
but
bringing that up.
It's amazing that light, I mean, and look, if you're a devout Bible-believing Christian out there, you can go like, yeah, that's sort of like what, you know, they're talking about in Genesis. And it is sort of like what they're talking about in Genesis. It let the, you know, light first and matter. And I don't agree with all the, like, on this day, then hogs and stuff. But on the sixth day, he created puppets. And
hogs, et cetera, on day six.
But no, like photons. And then they hit this field and they slow down enough and they get enough weight that they become matter and they build into stuff like us and kumquats and peppers, and it's just unbelievable.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Mm. I don't know. My mom told me all this. Yeah. She could be full of crap.
It's interesting. I started watching, it was on Netflix. I think it's a PBS, what do they call their
Nova?
Outfront? Or whatever. I forget what they're called.
Frontline
documentaries. And it's like a 9-part series about the Cold War. But it starts with the atomic bomb and all the stuff that Oppenheimer and those guys were doing. And it just made me think, what you're saying there is just, again, it's that mind-blowing, like, they figured out.
I know.
That if you smash these guys
and
together.
All right around the same time.
Yeah. That's
like nuts. The same guys were getting to the same conclusion almost independently. That's pretty freaky.
And then it worked.
I know. And there's every chance it might not have. Like,
I know, they didn't know.
In Oppenheimer, Matt Damon's like, are you going to burn the world? Are you going to burn the sky? And he's well, let's hope not.
Yeah, there's a less than zero chance.
Mm-hmm. You know, when
Sorry,
you have
non-zero chance,
when you have an exciting job like ours, you want a simple job. And this one sounds perfect for one of us. Antarctica is hiring penguin counters.
Ooh.
It's a 5-month job. Doesn't pay much. There's no running water, no showers, no flushing toilets, limited power and no cell service. And literally all you do is count penguins.
That sounds awesome.
Doesn't it?
That sounds cozy.
Will they play with you?
Easy, dude. Oh, the penguins.
Yeah, can you run around and, like, play penguin games?
I'm going to need some things before I sign this contract.
Yeah, you're a sick
like
puppy.
Like, if you bring a beach ball, will they chase it?
If you're not going to pay me.
Look, there's no cell service.
Can you imagine how inaccurate the count would be if I were involved?
Oh, my goodness.
What if you lose count? What if you get distracted?
In any way,
like,
shape, or... Yeah, one guy moves.
You're like 6,402. Oh, no!
Dave's just looking at a crowd of penguins and going, like, that's about 50.
There's no doubt.
That's the way to go.
It's
million
like every other job. The first 2 weeks, they'd be like, have you met the new guy? He's amazing.
He's so gregarious.
And then by week 3, they figured out I'm lying about everything. They're like, he's not counting penguins.
He was able to count them without even looking at them.
I think there's 112.
The penguins seem to have elected them as their leader. It's, weird stuff's going down.
I think
down.
We found a real Hall of Fame penguin counter here, boys. Well, he hasn't been out of his bunk yet, so. Do you remember? 334 DG Ass on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there.
So up and down again tonight,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. It's windy out there now. We've had a nice, mild day after kind of a cold start. And then we have another front coming through. Northwest wind comes back. So it's windy and chilly for any evening plans. Temperatures will drop fairly quickly into the 40s. And 38 will do it for the overnight low. Then on Wednesday, sunny skies. Lighter winds, but it's cooler by about 10 degrees, 55, 32 Wednesday night. A chilly day on Thursday, still on tap, 48 for the high temperature, 35 Thursday night. And Friday, partly sunny. A couple of limited showers are possible on Friday. I'm not overly excited about it. And 62, I think it will be a little cooler over the weekend. And there are some signs that we could have a pretty good rain by late in the weekend, but the details are really, really fuzzy. Spring. The spring season officially begins later on this evening. It is the earliest start to spring in 128 years.
Wow. So, Dave, I know that we could have 1, 2, 3 more hard freezes, but do you feel like that's likely?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, again, we never trust the weather until after Easter, but Easter is early, so let's say we don't trust the weather for, you know, planting warm season crops, things like that. That's Mother's Day.
Cool.
It's a ways to. That's a ways away.
You guys want to feel weird? Hear some things that turn 50 this year?
Okay.
Yes and no.
The Heimlich maneuver.
It's only been around that long.
Yeah, before that, we just let people die.
Yeah,
I would just guess that was way old.
Yeah, standing around going,
ooh.
What's wrong with Ted? He's choking on steak.
So
he's
that was in
dead.
The 70s?
Let him go.
We'll share a steak.
1974.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dr. Henry Heimlich described it in an article. It had served as a theory, and then someone did it, and the person survived, and we all started doing it.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons.
It's that old.
It's that old.
I thought that was like the 80s, but
yeah, I did too. I thought I was going to guess if somebody had asked me, I would have guessed early 80s, but that's just when I became aware of it as like a fifth grader.
It's weird that those came out at the same time.
Was the Heimlich maneuver and Connect Four Dungeons?
Dungeons and Dragons, D&D. Yeah.
Connect Four, Skittles.
Okay.
DayQuil.
Mm.
NyQuil was here 8 years before that, and then some genius came up with DayQuil, the Meow Mix jingle.
Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah, that fits. That's a 70s thing.
That's real
for sure.
70s,
yeah.
For sure. Post-it notes.
Okay.
The Rubik's Cube.
Hate that thing.
Explain.
It's just impossible.
I don't know. There are people who solve it in like 7 seconds.
I don't. Yeah. I don't. I think I might have solved it once when I had one as a kid. It was only
what?
The,
there's no
it was
way
only,
you solve one.
And it was only the 9-sided one, not the 12. You know those. You remember those bigger? Those small. They were like the same size but smaller rows.
That's the strangest humble brag I've ever heard.
I don't.
Now it wasn't the 12-sided.
It took me like months to do it.
I don't believe it. I don't buy it.
No, I put. I worked on mine. Oh my God. 7-8 minutes, and yeah. I decided to chuck it at somebody. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend helping. I mean, like, we were like always trying to figure it out at the same time. Yeah.
No, Dave Glover's always known his limitations. It didn't take me long.
You
to
were
figure
also,
it out.
Can, but you
he
were
can
bit,
count penguins.
Weren't you a bit older when you got it? Wouldn't you have been older?
I would have been 10.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 1974, I was 10. Right in the old wheelhouse of the cube.
Oh, man.
And I thought the same thing. I'm like, this Rubik's guy can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
No one can do this. And then the final two things, 50 years old this year, barcodes. That's impressive.
Wow.
And Bailey's Irish Cream didn't exist before 1974.
Huh? Really?
Right.
Would have never guessed that.
Me either.
I thought they had that back in Ireland in the day.
What's most important on that whole list, DayQuil or the Heimlich Maneuver?
Bailey's Irish Cream.
I mean, on a daily basis, you're probably not going to choke. So,
yeah.
What? Think about it. So Heimlich is never born or gets hit by a bus or ironically chokes to death. Mm. Do we get to it by 1978 or are we still just watching people croak?
That's a great question.
I think somebody figures it out.
You think so?
Someone's got to figure it out.
Right? Although it took us
and it's
like
pretty simple.
What did it take us like 300,000 years to figure that out?
For real. Think of the I mean you know, since the creator gave us the same pipe we eat and breathe out of. Not exactly the most shining moment.
I saved the life of a dear friend doing it.
Really?
I swear to God, I thought you were going to say a deer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Tell us a story.
Somebody.
He just turned 90. He's been a close friend for a long, long time. He was a CEO of a major corporation in the U.S. and just ran into him. Janice and I ran into him in Hawaii, played golf, and we just became really good friends. Mm-hmm. We were having dinner, just the four of us, he and his wife. And he started choking on a piece of duck. And he actually ended up in the hospital, but got him breathing again.
Wow.
He
Damn.
Really could not breathe.
Wow.
And to this day, I still call him Choking Duck. That's his name. And man, if I didn't call him that, he would be really upset.
I love that.
Did he give you any money?
Yeah. Did you say write me in your will? Or?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, random person gave my wife the Heimlich maneuver in the airport. She was traveling alone and choked on something. I don't know what, but then a lady came over and went, and saved her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy is that.
Have you guys ever read that book or seen that movie, Choke, by Chuck Palahniuk?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a guy going around and pretends to choke to create connections with rich people so they feel bad for him and they do send him money throughout his life.
Wow.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Yeah, it's quite a scheme.
Jeez.
That's terrible.
Well, it's not a documentary.
Yeah, it's fiction.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Like, I can't believe he would do that.
Look, I don't.
He's admitting it on camera.
Nobody's ever gone too low for human beings, right? I mean, there's always somebody who's ready to go lower.
Do some headlines, right?
Sure. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Mackenzie Scott, former wife of Jeff Bezos, is donating $640 million to nonprofit applicants. That's twice the amount that she initially pledged. So she's just like an amazing person.
She really is.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Very refreshing.
You think he just hates her?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, she and she's got one of the reasons she's doing it is just to put the knife in.
Good for her.
She has given away $16.5 billion of her fortune.
That's great.
Unbelievable.
You know who hates her is Elon Musk. Did we talk about this on the show?
Somebody mentioned it.
Oh, right. He said she's the reason for the
like
downfall in society.
Or, yeah.
Ex-wives. Which he was specifically talking about her when he said that, but of course Grimes was like, who else could you be referring to, Elon?
Keith Olbermann, haven't thought about him in a couple of years, seems to hope for Trump's assassination. In a recent post on X or Twitter, Olbermann flagged a clip of Trump saying that he had been persecuted worse than any president in history, including Abraham Lincoln. The clip was titled, "Trump says he has been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, who was assassinated," to which Olbermann said, "There's always the hope." Pretty classless.
Why does somebody say that? Why do you say that?
I know. No. Just keep it to yourself. Why? Like, first of all, to say it, and then also to be like, you know who needs to see this? Everyone on
Twitter.
Whole
world.
Yeah.
Right. Woke people are more anxious. This is according to a new study published in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology. Researchers asked more than 5,800 people to rate how much they agreed with statements widely criticized as woke. They found those who aligned with woke ideals had higher instances of anxiety and depression. And women were also more likely to agree with the woke statements than men.
Did they tell them they were woke statements, or did they just give them the statements?
They just gave them statements
okay.
that are widely perceived to be woke.
I've always found it really interesting that typically when political scientists will give people a test on policy, they are not what they think that they are. If you don't tell them who said this or whose idea is this, and I would think that would be especially true during these crazy times where you just can't keep up with either party. You know, it's like, oh, you love Ukraine, you hate Ukraine, you love Israel, you hate Israel. You can't keep up with what the box score is. I bet people have a gap in what they think they believe and what they actually believe.
Elon Musk has a warning for the United States. He says that we are doomed if voters do not overwhelmingly elect Republicans in the 2024 election.
All right.
So he told us
he's
once,
got nothing
people.
But credibility with me. So,
well, you know, the richest guy in the world is certainly the one we should be listening to on all things. Like, tell me what's good for me,
Shot
Elon.
He's a Republican.
Yeah, tell me what's good for me, there, buddy. Thanks, appreciate that.
So, just to be clear, King Charles is not dead. Russian outlets have advanced
his
the phony
fingers
claim.
Tell another story.
So there's a grainy and clearly manipulated screenshot meant to be a Buckingham Palace memorandum that said the king passed away unexpectedly yesterday afternoon. This is fake. Russian trolls have been.
It was all over Twitter this weekend. I saw it.
Twitter is just a buzz.
It's
with monarchy conspiracy theories.
Is the Kate thing over?
Nope.
No, not really.
She was cited apparently this weekend, and now people are like, that's not her. That's not her.
I mean, it is weird that they don't just have her, like,
here I am,
do a little selfie video of like, hi guys, calm down, everything's cool. It's strange that they're making the choice to continue to hide her.
They're all psychos. Like, they're all nuts. There's a reason why I hate them. They're weird.
Kevin's like, and yes, I do hate them personally.
No, I do. I do. I take it all very personally. Like, you're not that important.
I'm like, King Charles is not dead. And Wheeler's like, dang.
No, I don't care. I mean, I don't want anybody to die. I didn't want the queen to die either. Just want them to stop being what they are.
They speak very highly of you.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure if I showed up, they would acknowledge my existence. I'd be like, someone get this little red thing out of here.
It's a man doesn't like us.
They'd be talking about, somebody get this little monster out of here.
It's the fighting Irish.
This is why we dominated Ireland.
This loud fellow seems to have a problem with our monarchy.
This loud American.
It appears he wants to go.
Let's go.
One more story here.
Could you imagine me running through Buckingham Palace? Just like, let's go.
I want to remake the movie What a Girl Wants, but with Kevin Wheeler as the
oh,
star
what happened to that? I don't know that.
Vines. Her dad is like a part of the British royalty. I shouldn't have said anything.
All right.
I'll show you the trailer on the break.
So basically, I get to be the.
I love watching radio train wrecks. and I knew as soon as Rachel started explaining what a girl wants with Amanda Bynes, she'd have to backtrack.
Are you saying that KMOX isn't the target audience for that film? What are you trying to say?
Well, and you got when you watch someone in real time realize I I can't
continue. Shouldn't have done it.
I have to cut my losses.
Stuck here.
It's too much. But during the break, you have to explain it to me.
Well, her father, you see.
All right, thank you, Dave.
All righty.
Here you go. In a poll of 2,000 American workers, 60% say that a 9-to-5 job no longer works for them. They refuse to do it. It's outdated, and it should be work from home, flexible hours. I either get the job done that you want me to get done, and you pay me for it, or I don't do a good job, and you fire me. But this farce of 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, blah, 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 that is from, like, the coal mining times.
I mean, it's interesting. I just always wonder how you reconcile that with people who have to be doing something actively for their job. Like,
right.
Like, let's say you work at Target. You have to be walking around stocking shelves. There's no such thing as, like, the work's done. I get to go
hiding
home.
Hiding in the boys' changing room like Andrew did.
Right.
When he worked at Kohl's.
Well, that's at Kohl's.
Whatever works. Whatever.
You know, shelves.
I just want, it's like, do you think that you are above people in the service industry? Like, they should be working 8 hours
good
a day?
Question. I think the answer would, if they were six beer honest, would be yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I don't know about better. I do think that it depends on the job, right? I mean, if you're working, like, building a house, well, you can't build the house unless you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And the faster the house is built, the more houses you build, the more money everybody makes, the more money you'll end up making. But if you're just managing accounts and you can do that over the phone and you can do things like that, I don't think that should be an issue. Like, we talked about it with Barry. I almost called him Barry Sanders. Bernie Sanders.
That would have been interesting.
Right? We talked about Bernie Sanders' idea. I just, my thing is, it just doesn't need to be one size fits all. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. We're in a place where we can figure out how things need to get done, and it doesn't have to be the same for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.